We have been in the series of Cultivating Spiritual Awareness. The first message that I shared with you was really kind of a challenge from A.W. Tozer in his book, The Pursuit of God, where he talks about the development of senses with which we perceive spiritual things. Just as we perceive natural things with our physical senses, we also perceive spiritual things with spiritual senses that the Lord has given us. And so we're challenged to cultivate that spiritual awareness. The second message that I shared with you talked about the fullness of the Spirit, enabling us to understand things that are not perceived with the physical senses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 speaks specifically of that, how God has prepared things for us, things that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the mind or the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. But the Spirit of God reveals those things to us. So we have to be perceptive to the Spirit of God, full of the Spirit of God, to receive those things that are otherwise not perceived with our physical senses. And then last week I shared with you a message about our minds being guarded with peace, how the Scripture tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we want to walk in peace, our minds and our hearts guarded in peace, so that we can perceive spiritual things, and especially when we're in situations where we're having to discern what's the right thing to do here. If we will just set aside, sometimes we just have to absolutely set aside natural reasoning, because natural reasoning will only lead to anxiety. And so we exchange those things in prayer to God. The things that would cause us to be anxious, we exchange those things and receive in its place God's peace that has no reason for that peace being there beyond comprehension, but it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ. Today we're going to be talking about being transformed. Oh, okay, yes. I remind myself of my notes. We've looked at this passage from Scripture of Colossians 2:3-2. That tells us to set our mind on things above, not things on the earth. So there again, we are learning to be transformed. We are learning to cultivate that spiritual awareness of things above. Today, transformed by the renewing of our mind, then. I've already alluded to that. First, we're going to talk about morphing. How many of you have ever morphed before? It's like, what? What's that? Well, you'll see this from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. I ask you to turn there with me if you would like. Maybe you're still there from having Phil having shared with us. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to bypass verse 1 and just go right to verse 2, where it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So we're talking about being transformed. We're talking about being not conformed. It says first they're not conformed. And in this translation, it uses the word don't copy. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Excuse me. And then the word transformed, it says transformed into a new person by changing the way you think. Okay, so there's some things that got to change. We will automatically, Melanie shared a tremendous message years ago, but I still remember. It's like in our brain we have superhighways. It's like the direction you start thinking when something comes, you know, and it's coming to you. It's like I've got to deal with this, and there's kind of an automatic way that you start thinking about things. And that can be the way the world encourages you to think, or that can be the way God tells you to think or encourages you to think. And so we have to change sometimes the way that we think to experience this transformation. Where I talked about morphing comes from this Greek word that is translated transformed here. It actually is the Greek word that we get the English word metamorphosis from as well, which means to change or transfigure or transform. You are probably used to seeing this in biology or science class with what happens with a butterfly. From this worm crawling on the, you know, branches of the trees or on the earth. Worm, Caterpillar's a worm, isn't it? Are caterpillars cute?
Yes.
Especially if they're fuzzy, right? Okay. Well, which would you rather be, a caterpillar or a butterfly?
A butterfly.
Okay, point taken. All of us want to be, we want to experience that transformation that's going to, I mean, if you were a butterfly, you'd be flying south for the winter. Now, doesn't that sound smart? Okay, so, you know, there's this transformation that needs to take place. Obviously, it has this biblical perspective of us being changed and changed into more like God, more like Jesus. We're destined to become conformed to the image of Jesus. And so we need to experience this transformation in our own lives, but it comes as a result of changing the way that we think. Again, this passage from Romans 12 said, don't behave like the world. Instead, behave like a new person. A new person by changing the way that you think. So let's look at that. What is it that we're going to change? What needs to change? I would invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 through 11. And this is probably a familiar passage to you. When I start sharing it, you will recognize it, I believe. Isaiah 55 and verses 8 through 11. And if someone has a, you know, a mint or a cough drop or something like that, I'd probably, Daryl's, just so long as it isn't jalapeno flavored or something like that. What is this? Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you. It's just something to suck on. Okay. In the halls of glory. Thank you. Isaiah 55, starting with verse 8. This is the Lord speaking. He says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. What I want you to see in this, first of all, it says, God's thoughts are higher than ours, far beyond anything you could imagine. You know, that takes me to the Ephesians 3:20 passage that says, we are able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to his power that works within us. I got a whole roll. Awesome. I am well equipped here today. Anyone need a mint? Far beyond what we can imagine, even ask or think. You know, that would go along with this morning's message about, you know, how can God use you? Well, he can use you a lot more than you're even imagining. But here it says that God's thoughts are higher than ours, far beyond anything we can imagine. And then he begins to show, well, okay, if God's thoughts are so much higher than ours, then aren't we just, you know, doomed to ignorance? You know, is that the way God leaves us? Is, you know, I think a whole lot higher than you do. My ways are much more grand than your ways, and, you know, I'm sorry that you can't get there with me. That's not the way God leaves us. It goes to show how we receive those thoughts and ways. When it says, rain and snow come down to water the seed and produce grain, and he says, so it is with my word. God's word comes down from him, from heaven, and that word produces its fruit in our life. Now, let me show you a couple examples. You know, we could go to Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the seed. The seed is the word of God. It's planted in the soil of our heart. It produces its fruit. There is the word producing fruit in our lives. Here it's not relating so much the word as being the seed. It's relating the word as being the water that waters the seed so that the seed bears its fruit. Like rain and snow coming down from heaven, so is my word, is what God says. He sends his word, and it produces a harvest of fruit in our life. And I believe that the fruit that's being talked about there is the character and the nature of God in us. The nature of God is already a seed on the inside of us. When we're born again, we're born into the likeness of God. We were created in the image of God. And so that seed of God's nature is on the inside of us, but that seed needs to be watered for it to produce its fruit. That seed needs to go through a transformation for it to produce its fruit in our life. And so, like the seed, well, let me just share these verses with you. Partakers of his divine nature, that comes from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And it says that when we are partakers of God's divine nature, we escape the corruption of the world. Now remember in Romans 12, 2, it said, do not be conformed, what? To the world, okay? So let's escape the corruption of the world by being partakers of God's divine nature, or the water of his word growing that seed of his nature on the inside of us to produce that fruit and escaping that corruption of the world. We're being changed. We're being transformed. Also, Romans 8, 29 says we're destined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So that seed is on the inside of us. The word of God waters that seed, brings about the transformation for us to be more and more like him. Here's another passage that speaks of the water being like word. Jesus washes his bride with the water of the word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. And that's so that he can present back to himself a bride that is radiant, without spot or wrinkle, holy. That's the kind of work that happens when we receive God's word, his thoughts, his ways that are higher than our thoughts and our ways. He sends them to us so that transformation can take place in our lives, so we can be not conformed to the world, but transformed. And we are transformed by what? Changing the way we think. By renewing our minds. Okay, so we're renewing our minds to what? To this word that's being sent. So we're not thinking anymore like the world or conformed anymore to the world. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Okay, so when we're talking about either being conformed or transformed, again, conformed was to behave like the world, which we find out is corrupt. The world is corrupt, as it said in that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, escaping the corruption of the world. That's what we're getting away from when we're not being conformed to the world, not acting like or behaving like the world. We're escaping that corruption. The world is corrupt. And instead, we're living as a new person, or like God, partakers of his divine nature, or like Jesus, destined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So this is the transformation that will take place as a result of changing the way we think. Changing the way we think. Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you want to be a captive, or do you want to be a conqueror? Didn't we sing about being conquerors this morning? In that song, how did it go again, Larissa? She's helping with the kid. Oh, in the nursery. Larissa, are you listening to me? Come out and shout out. No. We will conquer in your name and proclaim that Jesus reigns. So we're talking about dun, 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 dun. So we're talking about being conquerors rather than captives. And let me show you this in these coming verses here. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 says this. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Okay, so we can be held captive by the thoughts and the ways of the world, or even the spiritual powers that are at work in this world. And there's one of these particular Sundays, we're going to go into becoming aware of things spiritual around us, the spiritual entities, both angels and demons, because they're active in the world, and we need to be aware of that. But this says, don't let anyone capture you. And I would have you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians 10 and verses 3 through 5. And see how we are the conqueror rather than the captive. 2 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 3. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So in this we see we have God's mighty weapons to destroy human reasoning. Human reasoning is reasoning, again, according to the ways of the world, that which will captivate us, as it said in Colossians 2:8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking. So God's mighty weapons are there for us to destroy human reasoning and instead to capture rebellious thoughts. See, we're instead of being held captive, we're going to be the captors. We're going to be the conquerors. Capture rebellious thoughts. I love the New American Standard there, how it says, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. So when you're looking at something, you know, human reasoning will tell you, you know, raise up human strength. Raise up yourself as you're a sole survivor. You can do this on your own. Come on, just, you know, put some more effort into it. Develop a strong will, that kind of thing. Whereas God's wisdom will teach us to put our faith and our trust in Him to overcome. And so we want to capture those rebellious thoughts or any lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Anything that's drawn you away from the Lord, you got to take that captive. And it's the way that you think. It's thoughts. Changing the way that we think. That's what's going to change us. That's what's going to transform us. So we capture the rebellious thoughts so that we're not taken captive by them. Okay, so when we're talking about being conformed or transformed, we're either being captured by human reasoning or we are taking every thought captive. Which end of that are you on? Conformed or being transformed? And again, it's a process. Metamorphosis is a process. Being transformed is a process. We don't get born again and then the next day have the mind of Christ. I mean, that's why it's a process of being renewed. It says being transformed by the renewing. It's a process. So, you know, we don't have to kick ourselves every time we go, I just thought wrong. You know, I'm still conformed. Well, there is a process, okay? But always give to the ways of God, His ways of thinking rather than human ways of thinking. Well, let's talk about mind control. You ever wish you could do mind control? That'd be a scary thing, wouldn't it? But how about having your mind controlled? Do you want someone else to control your mind? Well, it depends on who that someone else is. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 8 and we'll make the comparison here. I love this passage of Scripture. It is so very, very plain, so very, very clear about the outcome, the difference in the outcome between two different ways of being controlled. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Okay, so a mind controlled by the sinful nature, it's going to result in these things. You'll think of sinful things, be hostile to God. It says it leads to death, and you can never please God. That's the result of a mind that is controlled by the sinful nature. Whereas in contrast to that, a mind that is controlled by the Spirit, as it says here, you'll think about the things that please the Spirit. And not only that, you're going to experience life and peace. So here you go. Here's another choice. You know, conformed or transformed? Conformed, you're going to be walking the ways of your sinful nature desires, which is going to cause death in some form. You know, I always make sure that when I'm talking about death, it doesn't just mean you'll fall over and die physically. That death can be death in relationship, death in financial stability, death in, you know, all these kinds of things. You can experience death in a variety of ways of forms. But a mind controlled by the sinful nature is going to lead to that, whereas a mind controlled by the Spirit will lead to life and peace. There again, it's the way you're thinking, how your thinking is being controlled. What's controlling the way that you think? And we're talking about being transformed by changing the way that we think with God's thoughts and His ways that are higher than ours, not being captive by the world's thoughts, taking every thought captive, every lofty thing that's raised up against the knowledge of God, taking that captive. In other words, putting that away, saying, no, I'm not going to think that. I'm going to think the higher ways of God, the higher thoughts of God instead. Okay, so when we're talking about conformed or transformed, we're talking about either death or life and peace. It seems like the choice is becoming very obvious, isn't it? Which one you want to walk in? And yet sometimes it seems we're challenged to be not conformed to the world. It seems like it's easy to go that pathway, be it because of the pressure of people around us, be it because it seems like that's the easy way where, you know, I'm going to have to really discipline myself if I'm going to think God's thoughts and God's ways. Well, I've got to figure out what those are. So you got to go to the Word that's sent from heaven to get that water to wash you, His Word, to produce that fruit in your life. Okay? Well, here's another thing that we can see can be experienced in Scripture, and that is being double-minded. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it addresses that phenomenon. James chapter 1, 5 through 8. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. So this shows the reality of double-mindedness. It says what it is really, double-mindedness, is it's a divided loyalty between God and the world. So instead of just pressing toward that being transformed, you're still messing with that being conformed, behaving like the world, going back and forth. And I don't think this just describes the person who is going through the process and really attempting to be changed by the way that they think, being transformed by the renewing of their mind, and so they're pressing towards that, and they still lapse into now and then, I'm thinking human reasoning here. We all go through that experience. I don't think that's a truly double-minded person, but I think it's when a person knows and understands what's right, the right thing to do, what truth really is, and then still gives into, whether it be the sinful nature or captivated by the ways of the world, the human reasoning, that kind of thing, you give into that when you know better. Okay, I think that's what it's talking about when it says divided loyalty between God and the world, or going both directions of being conformed to the world and then trying to be transformed as well. It's divided loyalty is what it is. And then it describes that person as being unstable in everything. We don't want to be unstable. As we're developing and cultivating spiritual awareness, it's so that we will be more and more stable, dealing with this world in a God kind of way that's high above what the world would ever perceive as being the right thing to do. I mean, you know, just like we talk about, you know, you're generous in your giving, and even in hard times, you know, God makes an example of the Macedonian churches that were giving far beyond what they could even afford to give, because God was operating and they were excited about doing it because of a grace of giving that they were walking in, doing something that they couldn't do on their own. And so that's where, you know, we need to understand that God's ways are higher than ours. If we just limit ourselves to human reasoning, we're going to be unstable in all of our ways, or if we're going back and forth. Okay? And it says that person should not expect to receive anything from God. If we're going back and forth between God and the world, it's kind of like you're putting yourself in a situation where you're not open and receptive to the things of God. Don't expect it. It's not going to happen. Far too many times you're turning to the world for your answers. So we're talking about being changed by the way that we think, thinking God's thoughts, God's ways. Okay, so now the scripture is going to encourage us to have ready minds, and this is where I'm going to conclude today. Got a couple more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 17 through 24. Giving you some scripture exercise here today. It's very interesting. We had conversation as pastors in our pastor's prayer time on Thursday, and some are very adamant about just the scripture, you know, make you look up every verse, and I say, well, I like to put a bunch of them on the screen because I get a whole bunch more verses done that way rather than looking all of them up. But I don't want people to be dependent either on me putting them on the screen. Go, I don't need to take my Bible. Pastor puts them all on the screen anyway. So I'm always going to be challenging you with bring your Bibles, look up these verses. You really need to have a handle on this is God's owner's manual for you for life. So when you got to troubleshoot, you need to know where to go in the owner's manual and figure out how to figure. Because remember, God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours. If you just go with your human reasoning, natural reasoning, the ways of the world, you're not going to experience the kind of change that you want to experience. So you really need to know this Bible, which is the Word of God, which was sent down like rain and snow from heaven, so that you can bear the fruit in your life that God intends for His Word to do. Okay, are you in Ephesians 4 yet? Did I give you time to find it? Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. With the Lord's authority, I say this. I love it how this is God telling me to tell you this. That's what He says. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Okay, so if you're talking about the way that you think, do you want to live hopelessly confused? That's what it says the Gentiles are doing. They're hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Lost my place. Where am I? 24. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. If you want to figure out how to do that, it goes on with several instructions after that. This is what you can do. You know, quit stealing, quit lying, you know, so on and so forth. Okay, so what it says here is live no longer like the world, or it uses the word Gentiles, which is a comparative word with worldly people. Live no longer like the world, or be not conformed to this world. But instead, it describes those who are living like the world, hopelessly confused, mindful of darkness, hardened hearts. I mean, that's not a very good descriptive type of, you know, you don't want that commentary on your life, do you? Yeah, they're just absolutely confused. They have no idea what's going on. Hopelessly confused. Well, that's what it is to live like the world or being conformed to the world, the way you think, hopelessly confused, hardened your heart and mind. Instead, it says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And when our minds are being renewed, when our thoughts and attitudes are being renewed, we're being transformed into the image of Christ, or we're going to experience a new nature created to be like God, partakers of His divine nature, changing by the way that we think. Just the way that we think about things will transform our lives. And God's given us the things to think. Think on these things. Think things that are above, not on the earth. Dorothy, you got something to comment? Of Ephesians 4? Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That's a good verse. 32, Ephesians 4, 32. So, as God, through Christ, has forgiven you, we're to act that way as God would towards others. As God acts to us, we're to act that way towards Him, and we're being changed or transformed into His image, like Him, partakers of his divine nature, his ability to forgive, you know, we will be changed into that as well. So particularly, we'll just receive that as an encouragement from the Lord for maybe someone who's struggling with forgiveness this morning. This is a way that you can be transformed by changing the way that you think to embrace God's character and nature to be forgiving, just like he forgave us. Okay. And then 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 13 through 16. Excuse me. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. So think clearly. Everyone say, think clearly. Okay. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Christ Jesus is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into the old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. I really love the New American Standard translation of verse 13, where in this New Living Translation it says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. I love how New American Standard says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. We're going to be active with our minds, not in a way that leads to corruption, but in a way that leads to the likeness of God in our life. And his thoughts and his ways that are far beyond what we can imagine, experiencing his ways in our life, far beyond what we would do ourselves. Beyond all that we could ask or think, according to his power that works on the inside of us. So prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope. Fix your hope on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what does a thinking mind, or what does a mind prepared for action look like? Well, it enables us to discern our thoughts. Is this God's ways or human reasoning? I'm not going to be taken captive by human reasoning. Taking those thoughts captive instead. Okay, this is a thought that's raised up against the knowledge of God. This goes contrary to God's thoughts and God's ways. So I'm going to rebuke that. I'm going to take that thought captive. I'm not going to ruminate on that. I'm not going to meditate on that. That's a lie from the devil. So, you know, we need to take those thoughts captive. Taking up divinely powerful weapons. God has given us, first of all, he's given us the sword of the Spirit, right? A divinely powerful weapon. And with that sword of the Spirit, we do offensive work against the enemy and his tactics to try and take us captive. We talked about the shield of faith, how faith extinguishes the flaming missiles of the evil one. So we've got to be able to do that with the divinely powerful weapons that God has given us, and a mind controlled by the Spirit. That's what, when our minds are prepared for action, if we have a mind that is controlled by the Spirit of God, that's when we're going to be experiencing the true life and peace that he has given us. Renewing our thoughts and our attitudes, as we just read about in Ephesians chapter 4. Loyal to God only, not divided, not a double-minded man, not sometimes conforming to the world and sometimes conforming to God, and then being unstable in all of our ways. That's what a mind prepared for action is like. And then we will walk in the fruit of that transformation, that fruit of being a butterfly, not just a worm or a caterpillar or whatever you want to call it that just crawls on its belly. I want to fly. I want to go south for the winter if I want to. You know, a caterpillar cannot migrate south. It'll freeze on the way. Okay, so we'll walk in the transformation and see, I want to be able to fly with God when God says fly. When God says migrate to do this over there or whatever, I want to be able and ready to do that because the transformation has taken place in my life. So again, we're going to make a comparison between conformed and transformed. These are all the things that we've looked at. Being conformed, we're going to experience corruption, be captured, be confused, be controlled by sin, and death. Whereas being transformed, new person, will be the captor or the conqueror, instead of the captive, renewed in our minds and our attitudes and controlled by the Spirit, hallelujah, and experience life and peace. today I set before you, conformed or transformed. Choose you this day. As for me and my house, we're going to be transformed or continue to press for that transformation rather than being conformed to the world. It's not worth it. I mean, who wants to go through all that garbage when God is presenting this to you? And sometimes it's just because we're lazy. We won't find out what's in the Word of God, His thoughts, His ways. We're just lazy. We want someone else to tell us what to do. And in with maybe even a little bit of gospel, we get some human reasoning in there. You've got to rightly divide the Word of God, rightly discern what people's counsel is to you, so that you know you're walking in God's ways and His thoughts, so you're experiencing the life and the being the captor, not the captive. All those things on that right-hand side. That's a whole lot better than what you'll experience on the conformed side. And it is worth the effort. Let's put the effort into knowing God's thoughts and His ways. It's worth it because of the life transformation that we're going to experience. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, let's pray, and then we'll say amen again after the prayer. Father, we're just glad for the Word of God sent from heaven like rain, like snow, intended to produce its fruit, the fruit of your character and your nature in our life. Thank you, Lord, for placing that seed of Christ-likeness in us, that seed of the nature and the character of God in us, and your Word watering that seed so that we can become all that you intend for us to be. Father, we want our lives to be transformed. We want to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices. We want that transformation taking place in our life so that we can prove what your will is for us in our life and yielding ourselves to that will, becoming the sacrifices, the living sacrifices that you intend for us to be. Father, we thank you for the life and peace that you offer us and the transformation that can be ours through changing the way that we think. Help us as we cultivate these spiritual receptors, Lord, to understand the things of the Spirit. Help us, Father, as we continue to do that and are more and more transformed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you agree with that prayer, you can say it again with me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed with the blessing of the Lord. You can come on up and take a look at the gun. Stand on the right side of the gun, not the front end of the gun. And although it's not loaded, right, Phil? The gun is not loaded, so...